之一。
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. Tonight, the Bible study. We're going to study tonight end times events. And get out your pens and paper. Pencils and pens. For those who want to take notes. And we'll cover the end times pretty much in general and then some specifics as we go along. You're going to want to keep track of what I'm talking about. And then you do your own research. Follow up on it. About the return of Jesus. It's coming round. You see, it's amazing how the things are falling in place. It's like people want to try to make sense of what's going on. Walk away from it. Maybe if I just don't pay attention to it, maybe it'll just all go away. Go away for what? You know that every human being that's ever lived is going to be judged no matter what age of time, what period of history. How God does that, I have no idea. That's God's business, not mine. But it's going to happen. Not one human that's ever lived is going to escape judgment no matter when they died. Because when they died, they went to heaven or went to hell. That's where they are today, in heaven or hell, until the judgment, the final judgment, occurs. then they'll all be judged. Judgment seat of Christ for those who accepted Jesus. And those, the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year millennium reign for those who rejected Jesus. It's going to happen. So death, you will not escape judgment on either way. It's like people say, well, maybe if I hurry up and die, I won't have to worry about it. Well, no, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to be judged either way. When that final judgment then begins eternity. People are, it's coming round. Coming round. When Jesus comes, in those final days, those final judgments, the judgment seat of Christ, and the great white throne judgment. You know, the Freemasons are told that there's only one judgment. They kind of skip over the judgment seat of Christ. They don't tell them about that. Why would you want to belong to an organization that's trying to sabotage your entire life and eternity? Placating you during the reign on earth, just to placate you, to destroy your eternity. Why? Why hang around with an organization that lies to you? They got you taking an oath that you're going to lie. Now, why would you want to do that? But people do it. For the rewards they get here on earth, apparently. But Jesus is coming soon. The demons tread in fear and tremble at that sound, at those words that Jesus is coming soon, because they don't know when. So they're trying to find out. They're trying to tap into born-again Christians. Only way they can do that is have a born-again Christian put a spell on themselves. How's a born-again Christian put a spell on themselves? Ouija boards, horoscopes, seances, sin, falling back into sin. So Satan can get someone to fall back into sin or start taking drugs or go to seances or getting tattoos, whatever way. It opens up a portal in the body. He's got his path. He wants to tap in to find out what God's up to because he don't have the spirit connected to God to know. You see? I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. We're going to talk about some end times tonight. And you might want to take notes, as I said. And every time you start to do Bible study, you got to pray over it. You're going to be interrupted. You're going to have a challenge to study the Word of God. It's going to become worse. It's not going to get easier. You can count on that. Right now, it's practice. But this practice is going to get real. Real soon. Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we dedicate this Bible study. And Father, we call upon you to touch us with your Holy Spirit, to guide us through tonight. Father, as we go through the Bible, we share in the gospel, we share in the study. And Father, we call upon you to heal our family members, Lord, in your glory. The Father, through the healings and your blessings, that your name will be glorified. Lord, to guide us in knowledge, in courage, wisdom, to guide us in the study of your word. The Father, you give us that patience we need, because Father, sometimes it's really hard. We need that patience. But sometimes, Lord, we also need the trials and tribulations that we're going to make us stronger. We know that time is going to be needed. We pray tonight you guide us. And these things we pray the name of your son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, here we are on this Friday night. And I'm going to take it as slow as I can, I guess a little bit tonight, because we got some things to talk about that can get complicated. I'll try to simplify it. It's complicated. You know why it's complicated? I think my opinion here is because there's so many high-level theologians that are trying to accelerate the end times events for their own nefarious purposes and reasons, because they do belong to a Calvinist organization or their Freemason secret society organization. And family, they're not, and I say Freemasons because at the highest level are deceptive to the lowest level, as directed by Albert Pike, even in their own morals and dogma. But family, at the highest level, Pope's not talking about it. Billy Graham's not talking about it. When they do talk about it, they say, well, everything's going to be all right. Well, no, it's not. How about those that are not born again? How about those that's using wrong Bibles, missing verses? If it's not a Bible of God, it's a satanic Bible. And the only one that we have is of God is a King James Bible. I've yet to understand the thinking process of those that are lecturers, write books, CDs, and so forth, go around saying, well, you know, any Bible's okay, and I like the King James Bible, but, you know, it's got its problems too. They just say it flippantly, just like that. In reality, they're lying, or they're greatly deceived. And it's dangerous, very dangerous to put a doubt on the Bible like that, but unfortunately, that is the purpose of it. Because when the Bible is clearly missing verses, not there, common sense would tell you, well, I don't want a Bible that's missing verses. It's that simple. Yet the King James is one they put down. And then the ones that say, well, we use the King James, but then they say, but yeah, but you got to read the original. Well, there's no original. They must think we're all just dumber than rocks or something. There are no originals. Well, you got to read the original language. Yeah, but the translators were guided by God in the correct definition of the original languages to use. Today, they're not. None of them. After John of Patmos, first century, God did not speak to mankind anymore. No longer. The book had been written. Why speak? There's no changes, revisions, or additions. Additions to the King James Bible was simply to correct misspelt words. That was it. There was no revisions, only additions to create misspellings. Fix misspellings. But some of them are not taught that there's only two Bibles that have been written. They're taught that there's only one Bible, and they have one stream of translation. So when they say it's been manipulated many times, well, that's true. But what they don't tell them is that that's the second Bible was written. The first Bible is the one by the Textus Receptus, King James, whole different stream of translation entirely, completely different. They don't tell them about that. You see, and that's not good. When you start putting a doubt in the Bible, and this is what it's all about, is when the fallen angels come in as aliens or whatever, it's going to be easier to say, oh, well, we've been misled by the Bible. The Bible's really got problems. And they'll believe this Ananda Manuel, Yeshua, which is a fake and a false Christ. Jesus Christ is the real one. It's coming. You all be ready. Because when you speak out against this one named Yeshua, oh, it's not going to be pleasant. And they're certainly not going to give you your own personal parking place on that one. It's going to get ugly. Because you'll be persecuted by quote-unquote Christians as well. Because they'll see the UFO. They'll see the fallen angel named Sananda or Maitreya or whatever. They won't understand why they don't accept it when you know the truth about Jesus. And there'll be many, and there'll be deceivers. We talked this past night, a couple nights, about the end times, the four horsemen. Whatever they do before all this, for me, is just frivolous. It's just a fake World War III they're trying to brew up now with Russia and Putin and Obama, who are nothing but puppets anyway. This is a fake World War III they're ginning up. This is not the real World War III at all. And the defeat of the Illuminati they'll talk about, and the bankers have been taken out, and all this sort of nonsense. Now, it will be, in my opinion, though, leading up to the first seal. They got to have chaos before, some significant chaos, to bring you the first seal. And that's the white horse we've talked about in Revelation 6, 1 to 2 verses, 6, 1 and verse 2. And the one on the white horse comes with a bow, no arrows. It means he comes in peace. He comes to help. He comes to conquer. But conquer with peace. That's what that primarily means. And first thing you got to know is the Bible is 100% accurate. King James Bible. With that knowledge, then you can proceed. If at any time you doubt it, you better go back and start over again. Because then that means that God doesn't have any, he did not preserve his word. You see. That's the first thing. And so, knowing the Bible is 100% accurate, but that one Bible and that one Bible only, that the last 7 years of the tribulation, the last 7 years of the tribulation begins Daniel 9:27. You see, Daniel 9:27. That's the last 7 years of the tribulation. And that begins the first seal. And seal one is a conquering political or religious force that begins to take over the world. They're going to try to make Obama and the Pope and Putin and all these seem like that's the first seal. Irvin Baxter or whatever his name is, and Carl Gallup and some others, that Nathan Leal, no, I don't know, whatever else. They are trying to get people to believe we're already in the trumpets. That's impossible. That's insane. It's not even conceivable. Irvin Baxter or whatever? No way. The first seal is a conquering religious or political force that begins to take over the world. Hadn't happened yet. There'll be a fake one, but don't be fooled. And the seal number two will be the real World War III. The one prepared for by Albert Pike, and at the time it's going to happen. Revelation 6, verses 3 to 4, is the real World War III, and you will not be mistaken by that one. Because after World War III, the real World War III, which Turkey is the country to come down from the north, not Russia. World War III will then bring on, at the same time, the third seal, or famine. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. That would always result from a war, because of the lack of resources anyway. And after this, the famine, certainly simultaneously, you'll have plagues and death, and a quarter of the world's population dies. Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. Now that's just in the first 3.5 years. In general, after that comes the abomination of desolation. Your Jonathan Clicks and several others say the abomination of desolation is some other event. But the abomination of desolation is the Antichrist actually marching into Jerusalem to take over the temple there and declare himself to be God. He'll cause them to see sacrifices, say, "I'm God, and you'll worship me." That's 3.5 years. About that time is anticipated. Theoretically, you have to say, because nobody really knows. About the sixth or seventh seal is when they think that the highly likely rapture may occur, certainly before the wrath of God. When the fourth seal, or plagues and death, and a quarter of the world's population dies, then the sixth seal will be the abomination of desolation. And the ministry of the two witnesses will begin. Revelation 11, 1 to 15. The next event will be the Antichrist will take over the world as the Antichrist. And then about that same time, worldwide persecution of Jews and Christians will begin. Within that first 3.5 years. Now they still have this idea, some planet, X or Nibiru, signs in the sun, moon and stars, worldwide earthquake, appearance of Christ in the sky, and allegedly Christians raptured. The wrath of God will begin about mid-tribulation, 3.5 years into it. And the end times Babylon will be destroyed by some sort of method. And the sealing of the 144,000 of real Jews will all take place between about the sixth leading up to the seventh trumpet. A lot's going to happen in that first 3.5 years. Now, I'm going to get specific here in a minute. In seal number 7, that begins the seven trumpet judgments. Revelation 8, chapters 1 to 6. So, event number 1 will be the last 7 years begins, Daniel 9, 27. Event number 2, in general, will be seal number 1. The first seal, conquering political, religious force, begins to take over the world. That's the Antichrist will come in as a hero of sort, start taking over things, but in a good way, according to them. And then, peace and prosperity, peace and safety, they'll say. Then seal number two is broken. That's World War III, the real one. King of the North would be Turkey. Then the fourth event, seal number three, will be famine, the black horse. See, World War III is a red horse. That's just war. As red as war. Seal number three is worldwide economic collapse, but the main focus is its famine. That's the black horse. Seal number four, plagues, disease. And then comes the abomination of desolation. The two witnesses come out. The Antichrist takes over the world about 3.5 years later. And between seal number five and six, you'll have persecution of Jews and Christians. And this may be some signs of the time, signs of the heavens. Some big planet or something will maybe come around. There'll be destruction of Babylon. And America's not Babylon. We'll be already done. And sealing of the 144,000, all in the seal six. Now, seal number seven is when the judgments begin. Silence in heaven, and then the first trumpet. That goes into the second half of the 3.5 years. The last 3.5 of mankind. Now, they're going to try to fake all these things. Now, don't be fooled by them. In the first trumpet, there'll be hell and fire falling from heaven. As a result of that, one third of the plants will be burned up. Revelation 8, verse 7. When this event takes place, of that first or the second 3.5 years, then there are some kind of meteorite or volcano explosion in the ocean, and one third of the ships at sea would be destroyed. Family, this gets nothing but ugly from here on. Wrath is coming upon this earth, and that's how it's going to happen. That second trumpet. Third trumpet, a comet explodes on the earth, and one third of the fresh of water poisoned, that's wormwood. Many men will die. The fourth trumpet is one third of the sunlight's removed. And then when you move into the fifth trumpet, that will be the first woe that the angel calls out. And that will be demon locusts, unbelievable, just insects, or I don't know what it's going to be. God knows, but I don't. But it tells what it is. Locusts. And men will be tortured. Want to die, but can't. The sixth trumpet is the second woe. A demon army, one third of them, men die. 200 million man army will form up. And at about the sixth trumpet, the two witnesses' ministry is ended. They'll be killed because of all the plagues they brought upon the earth for punishment. Not be able to touch them during this period of time. Or be consumed by fire. That's what the Bible says. Well, around this time period, the two witnesses will end. Just right after the sixth seal, right before the seventh trumpet. It ends between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Then the third woe is the seventh trumpet. And the third woe, the seventh trumpet, that brings on seven vile judgments. You see? And then the first vile judgment, we're not done, is going to be boils on men that are not born again, those left down here. Then the second vial is poured out, and the sea will become as blood. All this is Revelation 16, 1 through 11. Then the third vial will be opened, and this is the wrath of God. Before that was the day of the Lord, the seventh trumpets. And before that, in the first seven seals is the day of Christ. Yeah. So you got the day of Christ, first 3.5 years. Second 3.5 years, the day of the Lord. And then the wrath of God is the seven bowl judgments brought on by the seventh trumpet. Got that? So the first vial is boils on men. Second vial is sea turns to blood. The third vial, fresh water turns to blood. The fourth vial is great heat. The fifth vial is darkness. And all this is of the wrath of God. So even in the second bowl, you got all the seas turned to blood. The third bowl is all the fresh water turns to blood. The fourth bowl, it gives power to the sun to bring heat to the earth's surface in the fourth bowl, fourth vial, a great heat, Revelation 16, 8 to 9. Then the sixth vial, therein lies your darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist. Because God controls the heavens. The sixth vial, the Euphrates dries up. And your demonically inspired men, willful for their own destruction, will be Armageddon. All this is yet to come. The seventh vial, that's when Jesus Christ and his saints return to earth and will defeat the Antichrist and all these hosts of demons. Sorcery, whatever else they got, will be eliminated. You know, it mentions in here about 100-pound hailstones. That sounds crazy, don't it? But when you think about it, it brings to mind, in the end times, as in the days of Noah, guess what? Nephilim come out. God removes his protective hedge. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. In the end times had the Nephilim, wreaked havoc on mankind. So that's what's going to happen. Is you'll see the Nephilim. And when they come out, oh, all bets are off. Their goal will be to kill all of mankind. Now, when you go into Google and you check out the UFO sightings, and you'll find a lot of information on UFOs in the sky, of course. You had, at one time, a television program named V. Aliens from another planet came in large spaceships to interact with the people. It seems to be the signs of the times on TV nowadays, doesn't it? Aliens from another planet would come in large spaceships to interact with people. In the story, they seem benevolent at first, but then they have a hidden agenda to take over the planet. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's why it's the first seal is peace and prosperity, and the second seal is war. And the subject of aliens from outer space is very popular with Hollywood, because Hollywood is used by Satan, literally, look up John Todd, literally to only keep you entertained. But also hide the UFO possibilities for reality, what they really are. Nephilim. Even most theologians today, even Billy Graham and the Pope, several other Christians, a lot of Christians, they believe there's aliens out there because of some of the clergy said there is. Then there's others who think about the possibility of visit of life from another planet. That's only possible, but probable in the years to come. Well, we're already there. Some people think they're already here in disguise. And let me tell you, it's not Judy in disguise. It's the fallen angels. There's also claims of people who've said they've seen UFOs and also interacted with aliens in them. Or excuse me, interacted with the demons in them. And there's those in Ascended Masters or New Age movement that actually believe that there are flights of fancy, and that there are some who believe that it's wholeheartedly that beings are real and come here to enlighten us to the fifth dimension. There's going to be re-spiritualization on this earth. DNA will be changed. And some folks removed, like a fake rapture, pre-trib. Ooh. The sightings are real. Because Satan can come as an angel of light. But they are demonic fallen angels. They're not the aliens at all. You know, before the flood, before Adam and Eve, or Adam and Eve, during the period of Adam and Eve, they're created perfectly until sin came into their life. That's when they began to die. And this was passed on to each generation. And it comes to mind, Genesis 6:4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God went into the daughters of men, had children with them, by them, they were heroes of men old and renowned. So you ask yourself, who are these Nephilim on earth? They even are talked about as legends in the American plain. About 1000 A.D., 2000... Early on, first century, 10th century, you had Nephilim at some point after the Tower of Babel. America was connected, of course, and so is one land, one landmass. Until 10 generations after Nimrod, exactly, Peleg, the period of Peleg, that God raised the water table or some way separated the continents and the cultures, because of the Tower of Babel. But the Nephilim are the offspring of the fallen angels and daughters of men. Except now they have technology. To accelerate their growth process. It's possible that the sons of God, which are the fallen angels, were the angels that followed Lucifer and whose pride he rebelled against God and was taken out of heaven. They were created as angels with certain powers that we don't have. But they're demons, and they interacted with mankind, produced another race of hybrid people called Nephilim. So these children born were like giants, and they were more powerful and very wicked in their thinking and actions. And you'll find it in the story of David and Goliath, where you're told that Goliath was over 9 foot tall. And it's 1 Samuel 17 verse 4. Says that when the Israelite spies went into the land of Cana, see in the fifth column strategy, I've talked about that before. They reported that giants were in the land in Deuteronomy 1 verses 22-28. So when you look at the science fiction films today, as they use that to brainwash people, does it not have similar circumstances on TV and movies? A race of aliens coming down from somewhere up above to take over the world is an old theme. People that see these things, you better check in your background about a family member that might have been into seances or Ouija board or Freemasons or something, because otherwise those demons and angels are held back. You don't see them unless you have a gift from God that allows you to. It's another story. And you have to question the angel where he comes from. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 7. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on this earth had become, and that every inclination of thought of his heart was only evil at all the time. Genesis 6, 5 to 7. Says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And if repented the Lord, and it repented the Lord that had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man with whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. So, those few verses of Genesis tell us about the great wickedness that's going on. And this is on the earth at that time, and will happen again. It's the reason that God's heart was broken and the reason for the flood. Wiped out all of mankind, animals, and plants, except for the eight and certain animals. To get rid of that DNA. It was because this new race of people was corrupt and ungodly and demonic and evil. The bloodline had been compromised. Very important, because life is in the blood. It's also interesting that the Gospels, that when Jesus talked about the second coming of the Lord, he says it would be like in the days of Noah. So, man, we're going back there. That would make sense. I don't like it none, but so where we'd go. Well, actually, it brings us to the next verse, Luke 17:26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came. And you know, these fallen angels are going to try to come back and interact with people of the earth in the third wave. Because they've been going back and forth since the dawn of man through portals and witchcraft. But they want to be able to come back and reside. And there's quite a bit of talk in a lot of credible areas that they are among us already. You see. And could it be that these fallen angels are coming back to try and interact with people on the earth? To once again corrupt mankind and convince them that it's they, it's us that will save the world. To worship us. And take this digital microchip. Ah, digital tattoo. Talked about that today. In Luke 21... I also mentioned that today, that 11b. Jesus tells us there will be a great earthquake, famines, and pestilence, and those in various places. Fearful events will and great signs from heaven. Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered, watch out that no man deceives you. So let's be careful that we follow what the Lord has taught us in His second coming. And Luke 17:22-24. He said to His disciples, let's see, in Luke 21, 22:24 in the King James Bible. And he said unto his disciples, the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, or go after him, nor follow him. But it says, just as a lightning that lighteth out of the one part under the heaven, shineth under the other part under the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. So in other words, when he comes, all the world's going to know at once, because his coming will be so spectacular. He couldn't possibly miss it. So do not be taken in by these forces who say that they come above and beyond and are here to save the world when they don't have the scripture. If they say the same things and do have the scripture, be careful. Test the subjects, test the spirits that they're of God. Luke 17:20-21. Once having been asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, he's already come, and he will come again, just as he promised. Not in a spaceship, but a cloud on a white horse, and the armies of heaven will be following him. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. Well, now, in 2nd Seal, got the red horse. Albert Pike's plan goes along with the 2nd Seal. It gets ugly. Family, this is not good news. It's not bad news. It is news. It is reality. It's what's coming. It's going by the book. Of that, there's no doubt. It's just when he pulls the final plug out and pew, it all just explodes. 3rd Seal, the black horse. 4th seal is pestilence. 5th seal is souls under the altar. Those that's going to be martyrs. And the 6th seal, when the 6th seal was broken, John told them there a great earthquake would happen, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And the newly departed as a scroll. Heaven departed as a scroll. Because that's the scroll of judgment. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. That's a big earthquake. I grant to say, you won't have harp to worry about anymore after that. It will not do to say that these things we're talking about symbolize the overthrow of the powers of the earth by great political convulsions and so forth. So, and you have Zechariah. He's a prophet. He spoke of a day that shall not be clear or dark. He associates it with an earthquake at the time of the return of the Lord. There'd be two earthquakes, one in abomination and one in his return. Yeah. Read it carefully. There was a New England, was called the history of the dark day. It was not an eclipse of the sun. Yet it was dark enough to make the stars visible. Chickens went to roost. The cause of that darkness to this day has not been explained. In the prophecy of Joel, you read that I will show wonders in heavens and the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. It talks about the sun turning darkness and the moon as blood before the great terrible day of the Lord comes. That'd be before the first trumpet. You read, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. Now there is God of judgment. Right now you got your intercessor, Jesus Christ. I sure would take advantage of it. Because ain't no going back when this thing starts. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Well, that sure knocks out the claim that they remove the wicked first. Oh, yeah, they got all kinds of claims like that. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened and is going forth unto the moon, cause her light to shine. You read, all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf. Whoa. You know, you kind of want to give people good news, you know, but you got to give them the right news. Sometimes you don't win your votes if you're going up for mayor, which I'm not. But if I was, forget it. And also get into Matthew 24. It's Christ Olivet Discourse. Talks about the end times events. Now, tell you what. Let's get down into it a little bit more. In the seven seals, conquering world power, war and anarchy, World War III, famine, plagues, and economic collapse, death of one quarter of the world's population, then the fifth seal, persecution of Christians and Jews, and the sixth seal, moon to blood, sun darkened as earthquake, and possibly the rapture during the great tribulation period. Before that, the tribulation of sorrows. The great tribulation is the fifth to sixth seal, and from then on it's the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord brings the seven trumpet judgments, hell and fire, some meteorite or earthquake, or meteorite or volcano, a comet, one third of the lights removed in the fourth trumpet. The fifth is demon locusts of some sort, and the sixth is an entire army. And so then the seven vial judgments is the boils on the skin. It would remove the protection, allowing the sun to beat down. Sea turned was blood, fresh water to blood, great healings, darkness. Euphrates will dry up, and boy, here comes Armageddon. And then, here come the judge, and that's Jesus Christ. You better be right with God when that happens. Because he won't be your intercessor. And the most important thing to remember is some of these haven't started yet. Matter of fact, none of it has. Oh, but we're close. They're trying to give it dates like 2016, 2017, such and such. But nobody knows. No way, no how. It's never meant for mankind to know. If mankind can figure it out, certainly can Satan. unless, of course, it was cut off by the Holy Spirit, but he would know. He'd be able to figure it out. Well, God's going to make sure he doesn't. So at the same time, he tells us what's going to happen so you can identify it when it does happen. Did you get all that? So, you wonder, how does the day of the Lord relate to the rapture? Well, you may know that it is in the Old Testament somewhere. And you also may be surprised to know that the day of the Lord is one of the most frequently mentioned prophetical doctrine in both the Old and New Testament. Is that coming day of the Lord. Remember, people fear that thing. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. Well, I got news for you. This is going to, if we're still left down here. I almost forgot that saying. And it was given by apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Peter. Started his sermon on the day of Pentecost and used a quotation from Joel 2:28-32. The prophet Joel said, and I quote, "It shall come to pass in those last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on the handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, that they shall have prophecy. And I will show them wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, of blood, fire, and vapor smoke. The sun then shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whenever whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, nobody can really deny that we entered the last days on the day of Pentecost. But fast forward. It's even harder now to deny that we've entered the last days or Jacob's trouble, not yet the first seal, because the Antichrist hadn't showed up yet. We're trying to get one Antichrist. Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and shall come to pass in the last days." So Peter goes on to say that, you know, you'll follow right up to some dramatic wonder in heaven, and signs are on the earth ending with us, ending with the day of the Lord. And as dramatic as those wonders in heaven might be, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, and the signs of the earth, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. You'd think there'd be more preaching on the day of the Lord than what it is today. Now, this thing called the day of the Lord, Isaiah, Old Testament, by the way, 2:12, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up he shall be brought low." Isaiah 13:6, "Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty." Isaiah 13:9. just a few verses later. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, both cruel and with wild wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate, he will destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Whew. Isaiah 34, verse 8. For the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Lamentations 2, verse 22. It just keeps going. You have called us in solemn day, my terrors round about. So in the day of the Lord's anger, none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up has my enemy consumed. Family, I got like this enormous number of these quotes. It's just all over the place. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is very important. It just goes on and on. You go to two different preachers, you hear two different versions of the end times events. Seems like these days, especially on TV. But everybody wants to accelerate it. Want to get it over with and done. It don't work that way. It's in God's time, not our own. You see. And who's going to appear in this disclosure? Well, they tell you right there in the New Age training. Those in British Israelism, Christian identity, and other areas, man, they're stuck on glue when it comes to this one named Yeshua. Man, they fight and protect Yeshua and this Sanan Emmanuel, like husband and wife. They get mad at you when you show them stuff. They don't pay attention to the reality. But this one named Yeshua and Jeshua is Sanan Emmanuel, is a fallen angel. And he is the epitome of identical with Jesus Christ we see in the photos and the paintings and black velvet paintings and all that. That is Jesus Christ of Nazareth as we see it. In reality, no. Not at all. I just, you know, I know there's a reprobate mind. I know they have an agenda. And I know that some of them could be a little bit misplaced. But people are not connecting the dots. Yeshua and Sananda, home within where the heart of God, says that I am Sananda and looks just like Jesus Christ that you'd think he would. Exactly. It's the same one. I am Sananda, also known as Yeshua. Well, there you go. In all of the articles, bar none, it says Sananda and Yeshua are synonymous. You show them this, they just gloss right over it. Well, what's his name in Hebrew and all this and all that? They don't even see that's written down. They don't say, well, gosh, you got a possibility there. Now, in the beginning, Sugmad, also known as all that is or God, is of God, he decided to create an experiment, free will. Unlimited free will. It's never been done before in this way, and it was tried before. Beings of many worlds, they say, ended up destroying themselves. Their works became the lost access to their soul light, as they call it, in their downward spiral, and could not be found, could not find it again within themselves to, so they could save themselves from destruction. The result was that a free will was limited just a tad bit so that things wouldn't get out of control, become destructive, or eliminate eons of work of words of work. So on a planet, the solar system or galaxy was lost to darkness and destruction. It felt like a great failure to the sigmads of the various universes, they call it. Hadn't yet figured out a way to solve the particular problem. And then this thing just goes on and on. Sugmad this and Sugmad that, and God this and God that, and it's just all New Age nonsense. It's going to take the world by storm, though, with disclosure. Everybody will see an alien. Now, it goes on with this New Age stuff, but the main thing is, it talks about Yeshua and Sananda are the one and the same. It's the same Jesus Christ we think we worship. Same one. So how's this Day of the Lord, how's that relate pretty much to Scripture? In the Old Testament somewhere, it's possibility of being shocked and surprised to know the Day of the Lord is one of the most frequently mentioned prophetical doctrines in the Old and New Testament. And you might have heard a sermon on the Day of the Lord in Scripture, but didn't recognize it. If you did, it's given by an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Peter. He started his sermon on the day of Pentecost, quotation I've given you. He sort of lays the groundwork. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before that great and terrible, notable day of the Lord comes. Now, no Christian will deny that we entered the last days in the day of Pentecost. But also, you can't deny that we're not in the first seal today. The Day of the Lord of Hosts, Jeremiah 46, verse 10. For this is the day of the Lord, God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and shall be satiate, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates, and the day of his fierce anger, Isaiah 13:13. Therefore I will shake heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Family, let me tell you something. A 7.0 or 8.0 earthquake in one location on the earth, that is not God. Bagley and some of the others. Dead fish, dead birds, dead cows, a 900-pound hailstone falling in Croatia. That is not the first seal or any other seal. It's impossible. Not going to happen. They want to accelerate the end times events to bring on Sananda Manuel. That's why. That day cometh. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all they that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and shall leave them neither root nor branch. Man, I tell you what, when God brings some kind of judgment on this earth. It's not going to be some little river in Pakistan that turned red, or somewhere in Michigan that we have a pond that turned red. We're there. I got news for you. Man, you're not going to be watching tribulations on TV. Nope. That's certainly not going to happen. So, it behooves you to get familiar with these end times events. Because I'm telling you right now, a lot of these preachers are not teaching the truth. They really aren't. And others, they know the truth and they're not preaching it. And there's some that are. But you just got to know how to discern which is which. Now, the day of God, 2 Peter 3, verse 12. Looking for and hasting in the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has become a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Then you got a term that I just recently kind of run across, day of Christ. That will be in your first 3.5 years. Philippians 1 verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, but you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And then you got the day of wrath, day of the wrath, and the day of wrath, and the great day of his wrath. There's a lot of stuff that's still yet to come. That's the main point. They're trying to make people think that we're in the end times. We're just about done with it. No problem. Well, yeah, because now it's the time to dig in if you haven't already and to give your life to Jesus. Because it's going to sneak up on people. You keep putting off and putting off and putting off, repenting and taking Jesus as your Savior, till one day you're going to be caught up in the middle of this worldwide revolutionary plan that takes place in one day. That's what the plan is, in one day. Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I'm not even going to venture a guess because I don't really know. So why guess something I don't know? But it's a possibility from things I've read. Is that one, two, or three main cities may just go up in a nuclear explosion. Pew! One they're not going to use to start off this fake World War III. In comes fallen angels, like Hopalong Cassidy. Oops. I bet some of y'all saying, who? What did you say it was? Who's Hopalong Cassidy? Hopalong what? I know. Some of you out there know. Some of you out there, most of you, probably don't know Hopalong Cassidy or Ren 10-10 or any of those. Then maybe you watch Ages Old Archives. I don't know. But there's some major events coming, and they're trying to escalate them, trying to bring the Savior, but their Savior, not ours. And he's not a Savior. He's a fallen angel. And they're trying to usher him in. And that's one of the reasons they're bringing all this stuff, like homosexual marriages and taking out the Ten Commandments, bringing drugs in, legalizing them. All this stuff is against the Bible. And it's against when you bring in enough of it, of these events, these events against God, he pulls back. And they know that. It's getting mankind to bite that apple. That's what happened. I mean, if God wanted to stop, he would have stopped Adam and Eve from biting the apple. But he had free will. You see how it works? So the more we pull away from him, the more he's going to pull away from us. When that happens, there's a balancing point. There's a point of no return. And boy, you're in it. Now get ready when it happens. Hadn't happened yet. But it sure is getting set up. That's for certain. No doubt about that. So now you got all that now. You think we can pass out a test here? That test comes in real life, actually. So I guess the answer is no. So the Bible's written where you recognize the events as they've happened already, or as they're happening. It's not some one person to say, well, I know from reading the Bible this and that and the other is going to happen. Because that brings an ego trip for the individual doing it. Oh, whoa, John, you called. That's amazing. Yes, I know. Oh, please. See, God is way ahead. Men will not be allowed to claim. Because after John of Patmos, God stopped speaking to people. No more scriptures. Dreams and visions, maybe. But no written material. Now, I've done an analysis on the end times events. I got a matrix and all that stuff that you do in the school. You know, it's the only way sometimes I can learn something is through that means. So when you go over these things, become very familiar with them. Because like I said, they're counting on you looking at these like Baxter and the rest of them in awe because of their degrees and all this, that, and the other. So whatever I tell them, he thinks, they'll believe it. And what you got are Calvinists in the pulpit, and atheists, and Jesuits pretend to be Christian. Okay. So, the Lord cometh. That's the big thing people want to know. What is the day of the Lord? The day of Christ is the first 3.5 years. Somewhere along there, it accumulates into the rapture of some sort, whether it's the 4th to the 6th seal. Watch thee therefore for a fake pre-trib rapture. Be ready. Because LaHaye is one of the bad guys. He is on the Council of National Policy. He is a member of the Illuminati. And some of the others, Pat Robinson and the rest of them. Oh yeah, absolutely. So be ready for that. And know your scripture, so you not be fooled. Especially by this Sinan Emmanuel. I can't say it enough sometimes, but so many people are probably getting tired of hearing me say it. But family, I mean, this is amazing implications. You know, we've raised up in our history, in our lives, and we thought Jesus looked. We assumed that it was Jesus for some reason. That somebody did a painting on him or something, whatever. No. That's not even Jesus Christ. That's Sinan Emmanuel that we've been looking at all these decades in churches. That's Sinan Emmanuel, a fallen angel. But that day of the Lord identifies events that take place at the end of history. Isaiah 7, verses 18 to 25. And this is closely associated with that phrase, that day, throughout the Bible. And one, I don't know, key to understanding this really is the phrases is to understand them by noting that they're, that you always identify a span of time during which God personally intervenes in history, directly or indirectly, to accomplish some specific aspect of his plan. Some theologians associate the day of the Lord with a period of time or a special day that's going to occur in God's will and his purpose, and that for the world to, and inclusive of mankind, will be fulfilled. Some scholars believe the days of the Lord is a longer period of time than a single day, a period of time when Christ is going to reign throughout the world, and this is before he cleanses him, heaven and earth, to prepare to come to the internal state of all mankind. Not the fifth dimension. He's not dealing in that. Sometimes there are scholars that say the day of the Lord is an instantaneous event when Christ returns to earth, and that to redeem, his faithful believers and send unbelievers to eternal damnation. That sounds pretty right. It's the way it is. But the part about the about this, his will for mankind, and the different ways to look at it, it looks like it's a period of time of all the 3.5 years at the end of the tribulation to the seventh trumpet. Seventh trumpet brings the bowls of judgment, which is considered to be the wrath of God there. When it talks about the day of the Lord, it's used about 19 times in the Old Testament itself. 4 times in the New Testament. You'd think it'd be opposite, wouldn't it? And in Revelation 6 and 16, it's alluded to, pretty much. But the day of the Lord in the Old Testament is Isaiah 2, verse 12. And Isaiah 13, verse 6, and Isaiah 9. Ezekiel 13, verse 5, and Ezekiel 30, verse 3. Then you move into Joel, and Joel was a busy guy. Joel said it was Joel chapter 1, verse 15. And 2, verses 1, 11, and 31. And Joel 3, verse 14. That's a lot. Amos 5, verses 18 to 20. Obadiah, all of 15. Zephaniah 1, and verses 7 and 14. You had Zechariah 14, verse 1. It's a bunch, man. Malachi 4, verse 5. I just go on and on. There's like 5, 6, 7 more. It tells you about the day of the Lord, but you got to study it to understand it. You study yourself approved. Whoa, where are we today? Wow. Finally, we're coming down to the end of the program here. Don't wait around, because that tribulation period is going to come up on you if you're not careful, for all of us, actually. And boy, you're going to go to work then. Well, I'm going to close the program right now. And I briefly covered over the end times events, basically. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And you can search out on your own the details to continue on with your study. But the idea is to know it, to recognize it now when it happens, as it goes along. And then once you start recognizing the real events, you say, oh, you start recognizing what time period it is and so forth. But not yet. Not yet. Can't do that yet. A lot of people are trying to get us to believe it, but it's like it's not there. Oh, but we are close, though. Very close. Lord, tonight we thank you for being able to come together in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray to guide us through this weekend. Guide us through our lives, our studies. And Father, prepare us for the days to come. We lift up to you, Carrie's sister, tonight, Lord. Or Carrie's daughter, tonight, Lord. To protect her. And Father, to lead her to Jesus. Give her the opportunities. I pray for members of myself. And Lord, you hear prayers throughout. As people are lifting up to you in their heart of their prayers to be answered in your glory. Father, we pray we'll have many more days next week. And Father, to give us that comfort and protection and all those others, Father, children too, in these coming times of events to take place in March and April. Father, we pray for the vets also tonight. Father, guide us in our lives. Lift us up as we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, you're going to be tested and tried. The closer you try to get to God, the more Satan's going to try to get inside there. Yes, he is, in all kinds of ways. Don't let him do it. You hang in there. It's going to start tweaking itself. It's going to take you up another notch. You be ready. You be ready. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see you next week. And also remind you, John Kirkler, HighPointRadio.net. H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Herkler, HighPointRadio.net. His email is HighPointRadio@Yahoo.com. He plays us on his station, his network, randomly, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. Also, KBLU Radio, Blue Ribbon Network. Don't forget, Monday night, I'll be here from 7:30 to 9, but I won't be on my broadcast from 4 to 6. I have an appointment Monday. I will not make it back. So Monday night, 8 to 10, is RevelationRadioNetwork.com. But I won't be there for 4 and 6 on this channel. So y'all have a great night. Thank you for sticking around. And do your studies. Get ready. Time of a warrior is coming. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. We'll be prepared. Y'all have a great night. God bless. And this is the Watchman for Jesus, signing off. Good night. Good night. God bless and have a great weekend. Signing off.